Welcome to the Taming Tribulation Podcast. I am your host, Wyatt Hammond.
And I'm the co-host, Jeremy Crossley.
In this season, we are using biblical stories about trials and tribulations that characters have gone through, how they confronted them and overcame their own personal obstacles, so they can become the people that God uses for his purpose. Not perfect people, but imperfect people being used to do his will.
Our intention with these stories is to pass on to the listener the understanding that God uses the hardest and most difficult moments in our lives to refine us into the people we were meant to be.
By listening to these stories, we hope that you can be encouraged to see where God can use your tribulations for his purpose. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Taming Tribulation. In this episode, we are doing Genesis 39, and we're skipping Genesis 38 in this season because Genesis 38 doesn't exactly follow the theme of the story. It's kind of a trail off of Joseph's story into a family member of his and a strange story with a prostitute. And so if you want one of the weirdest stories in the Bible to read, go and give that one a read. But we're going to skip that one today and skip and stay on the track of Joseph's life. So just a quick reminder of what happened last week in Genesis 37. We started with the story of Joseph, where Joseph had two dreams where he started bragging to his brothers and parents about how he was going to reign over them. And obviously, with a great amount of hubris and pride, he described these visions that he had to his family members, ignorantly not realizing that obviously this was going to cause him more trouble than good. So his brothers go off one day and he catches up to them and they decide, let's kill him. And instead of killing him, they have one brother that says, let's throw him in this hole. So eventually Ishmaelites come along. They sell Joseph to these Ishmaelites as a slave. And the Ishmaelites go to Egypt and sell Joseph to Potiphar, the captain of the guard of the Pharaoh of Egypt. So right now, Joseph is technically a prisoner and a slave in the house of the captain of the guard. And Potiphar is a very high official in the Egyptian royalty, I guess. And so Joseph is now put in his house as a slave. That's where we are in Joseph's story. And in Genesis 39, we're starting at verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, I just want to cut in here, Jeremy, and just bring up what a sudden 180 of events this is. That in these stories, I like to put myself in the character's shoes, and like we did with David and now with Joseph, and thinking about how would I be looking at, what would my perspective be if I were in this person's shoes? And in this one, it's like you just got sold into slavery from your 12 brothers, and what a horrible, traumatic event that would be, and all the betrayal, and now you miss your family, and you're away from home, and you're sold into slavery, and all the fear and insecurity that would come from that. And then you get to the place now where you're a slave, and you're suddenly put in front, you're put in charge of everything. And everything goes well, and you're now have authority, and you know, like you'd be like, okay, this is much better than I thought it would be. You know, what do you think he's thinking here, Jeremy?
I mean, I don't understand how he would be thinking anything other than what the heck is going on. You know, like we obviously don't know the time in which it took Potiphar to like trust him, but like God was blessing it the entire time. Even when he was sold, even when he probably felt like he was abandoned by his family, he was still lifted up. And you know, it kind of reminds me of the scripture when it talks about, even when my father and my mother abandoned me, the Lord will hold me tight. And I think this is probably the mentality of his family, right? Maybe not. Maybe he's probably just like, you know, this stinks and I got sold into slavery, but it could be worse. So you get put in charge.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he does have the thought this could be worse. But the scenario of getting sold into slavery by your family for any person would be a life-shattering event, yeah. Right? Even just to your self-esteem, the amount of mental distress that would come from something like that, you know, is hard to fathom. So you know, he's dealing with that, but then also now he's getting blessed in many ways in his new home, I guess you could say. So it's an interesting turn for fate at this point in the story. So in that last verse, I stopped halfway through verse 6. So now continuing on in verse 6. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. So again, another cruel twist in fate where things are suddenly going well, and now he is getting hit on by the wife of the most of the man of the house. And any person with even an ounce of common sense knows the consequences or just the amount of drama that kind of infidelity could bring into somebody's life. I mean, if you're working in somebody's home that you respect and has power over you, and their wife starts to hit on you, that's to you only means trouble, right? Like there's mm-hmm. nothing good that comes from that. Joseph thankfully is wise here and knows well enough that, listen, I have everything in your husband's care is mine, but I'm not going to take advantage of the position that he's given me and take you too. So no, I'm not going to go to bed with you. And day after day, she approaches him, and he refuses to go to bed with her. So there's a check in Joseph's favor for common sense. So again, and you know, putting myself in Joseph's shoes is just thinking, my goodness, like what? There's almost pretty much anybody else in the entire household could flirt with me, but not you. Right. Like, I mean, I don't know how many people are in this house, but if it's the master of the guard, I imagine there's quite a few slaves, quite a few servants, quite a few cooks, quite a few cleaners. Like, I'd imagine it's quite an operation to run this house for the captain of the guard of the Pharaoh of Egypt. So what do you think here, Jeremy?
Yeah, I think the only thing that really stuck out to me, like everything you said, was, you know, spot on. But I think in verse 9, when he says, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God, right? Even in this moment, Joseph's not thinking about himself. Like, he's thinking all about God and all of this, right? Like, he's not, like, he says he's thinking about the master, and he's thinking about, you know, how fortunate he's been given all this responsibility. But he's like, it doesn't even matter in this moment. Like, I don't want to do anything to sin against God, because he obviously knew, you know, you can't sleep with another man's wife and not be in impurity. So I think that's the mentality he's at. Like, this is the stuff we were talking about, like trying to persevere through the valley moments, right? Even when he was sold into slavery, he recognized what God has still been doing in his life. He recognized the blessings God was still giving him, even during the most unfortunate moment. And he was tempted, right? He was tempted by Potiphar's wife over and over and over again.
Like I said, if it's going to be, if there's one person it shouldn't be for his own sake, it's this person.
Yeah, but he's right. But he's not even like acknowledging, just he is acknowledging, yeah, he shouldn't do it to his master, but he's also acknowledging, like, well, why would I do this against God? You know, God has given me all this. I'm not going to throw everything away for one woman who is trying to just sleep with me and leave me, kind of thing, yeah. You know? So I think that's just a very valid point. And as most men who probably can understand this concept, if when you have a very attractive woman coming onto you, You get to fight.
Actually, I don't think that's not happening.
I'm sorry, that what? You got the trolls coming after you.
No, dude, I'm saying, yeah, you might, maybe as a army man with big chest and tattoos all over you, maybe you got women coming up to you all over the place, but that's a rare occurrence for most men. So
most people men get to fight the temptation.
When
it does happen. So
it is a slightly different situation here. Like and it says here Joseph was a well built and handsome, and so, you know, I mean, that's even that's a like percentages, right? There's not that many guys that you would say are well built and handsome and compared to the rest of them. So yeah, you know, obviously the statistics works in his favor in this one.
Some people fall short in that category, but they make up in other regions.
Yeah. like faithfulness.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to verse 11. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." Okay, so in this part of the story, it's quite a dramatic part where Joseph is in Potiphar's house one day alone, and Potiphar's wife comes in, grabs Joseph, asking him to sleep with her. As Joseph runs out, she grabs his cloak, and now when her husband comes home, she has Joseph's cloak, making it look like he tried to abuse her. So she lies about Joseph. And so continuing on in verse 19, when his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So again, another 180, right? Joseph gets sold into slavery, becomes the head of the household, just under the captain of the guard, thinks, "Oh, this isn't as bad as I thought it would be." Potiphar's wife starts hitting on him, and he's like, "Oh crap, this isn't good, but okay, you know, I can resist this." And then one day she grabs his cloak and lies about him that he tried to rape her, and now he's put in prison because of that lie. And while he's in prison, again, he's put in charge of everything. So a couple times in this chapter, it says God was with Joseph, and I think that's clear to Joseph, and as he's going along these experiences where good and bad things keep happening to him, and I think he's fully aware that God's watching his back here.
Yeah, I think he obviously, this is just a good reminder, I think, for people to understand that, again, even when you're in your highs and your lows, that, you know, it may seem like it's the end of the world, but God's still, you know, if you do the righteous thing, you know, God's still going to be with you. I mean, it's a test of faith. I think you see a bunch of times in this story where, yeah, God showed him visions and he was arrogant and immature and humbled out where he got sold into slavery. And then, you know, he got put into the high captain's house. He had more of a test happen to him where his faith was tested. And he said he wouldn't want to sing against God. And then back into the valley where the wife made accusations about it. And now he's still just like, I'm still content with what I did. You know, this is a a moment, multiple moments where people can sit back and say, like, you know, God wasn't with me in this. And this is God saying, like, no, I've been with you the entire time, you know, and I've been helping you throughout all of this. You know, it's a lot easy for us to over-criticize. I'm very guilty of this personally, over-criticizing the moments where I'm just specifically looking at all the negatives rather than looking at all the positives that are actually occurring. I think anyone who has like a leader type mentality can automatically think of, all right, what needs to get fixed rather than what's good. So I think this situation, I think Joseph got put into a really awful situation going to prison. Anyone else who's been wrongfully convicted can probably understand that.
Or accused.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all can understand it, but like God still works through things.
Okay, so ending off this episode at Genesis chapter 40. Thanks for listening to Tame and Tribulation, everybody. We hope you're enjoying Joseph's story as much as we are, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Bye-bye.